focus on the last part of verse 8 and down through, we'll continue down through the end of the chapter as far as we can get. And somebody start us off verse 1. We'll just read down through the end, and then we'll jump in. Verse 1. Don't be shy.
I speak with the tongues of men and of the angels, and I have not charity. I am become as sounding brass or a tingling chant. And though I have the gift of prophecy and the understanding of all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it is profited me nothing.
Okay, verse 4.
Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices within the truth, or with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things.
Okay, verse 8.
Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in the mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. But the greatest of these is love.
All right, take a second, look back at 8. I know the love never ends. It's really kind of a continuation of verse 7 there. But so starting with as for prophecies or even love never ends, it's kind of the transition. Maybe I should have said that more. It kind of is wrapping up verse 7, and then it starts the thought that Paul is presenting in verses 8 through 13. But look at those verses 8 through 13. What are the contrasts that Paul's making in verses 8 through 13? Give you a second to kind of look at that and give it some thought.
He's contrasting with the gifts.
All right. Contrasting the other gifts with?
Right, with love.
With love, right. Yeah, so he's taking some of these other, obviously not all of them, but he's taking some of these gifts, more than likely what the Corinthians have been struggling with the most, and he's contrasting that with love. So I made a chart. Hopefully you can read it and see that. But, you know, we have this, the other contrast is the present age and then the age to come. You know, these two things. You know, so now, yes, right now we have the prophecies, we have tongues, we have knowledge, but they're going to pass away, right? So the end of verse 8, you know, as for prophecies, they'll pass away. As for tongues, they'll cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. In contrast to 8a, the beginning of verse 8, where it says love never ends. You know, he says, we know in part and we prophesy in part. But what's the contrast to that? Verse 10. What's he say in verse 10? Right, but when the perfect comes, so are we in the perfect yet?
No.
But when that time comes, in the age to come, the partial will pass away. Then he says, you know, now I'm like a child. And I, you know, as a child, I'm speaking, thinking, reasoning like one. But what will we be like in the age to come? We'll be like an adult. you know, and we'll put away those childish things. Because we will, the perfect will have come. We will be fully mature. We will know all those. I guess I should be careful. We won't know all things necessarily, like God knows all things being omniscient, but we will know more. We will know things more fully than we know them now.
No longer have a need for tongues or for prophecy.
Right, yes. And that's right. And his point is in that age to come, right? We won't need tongues. We won't need prophecies. We won't need all them because we will be complete in Christ, and in his presence, and he will fulfill all of those things. You know, so that's this idea. Now we see in a mirror dimly, or not well, but then what? Face to face. All right. And we'll get into these a little bit more. As we go through them bit by bit or verse by verse, you know, he says, now I know in part, then I shall know fully. Now, you know, then he wraps up with, you know, faith, hope, and love. Does Paul use faith, hope, and love elsewhere in his writings? Anybody familiar with his other letters? Yes. Pretty much all his letters, he's always talking about faith, hope, and love. You know, so it's just really a continuation. It's his thought process. You know, he's continually bringing before his audience the idea of faith, hope, love. You know, that all of those are very important in our lives. But here to the Corinthians, he says the greatest, so kind of the book ends of 8 through 13, love never ends. And now he's wrapping up with the greatest of these is love. So, you made it back from the field, Blake. Good. Was it all good? Any bad things happen?
No, nothing bad.
Okay, good. I was going to say, I'm sure there's always some interesting things that happen. But...
Well, I was praying for rain, and then the week that it came, it was in the field. So.
Yeah, I was going to say, you got like a deluge out there,
yeah,
I'm sure.
It's all good, though.
Yeah. So, were you able to stay mostly dry? Or?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I got taught how to build a dry space.
Okay, good. Good. All right. So based on all of that, then what should our response or our reaction be as you're reading this, as you're understanding this idea of, you know, the present age, the things that we're really struggling through, and that, you know, yes, we have these gifts. Yes, there's all there. But realizing that in the age to come, all of that's going to be made new. It's going to be completed. It's going to be different. So what should our response, what should our reaction be?
Peace.
What? Peace. Good. All right. Peace. All right. We should have the peace of knowing, you know what? I can make it, you know, it's not that bad kind of idea.
And patience.
Patience. Realizing that the time is going to come. You know, that idea of being patient, long suffering, hanging in there. Okay. All right, good.
So
all right.
The point of those gifts would be to spread love, essentially, yes. To demonstrate the love of Christ, to share the gospel, which is a demonstration of love.
All right,
but
good.
Even after all of these things pass away, love will be the thing that's in the kingdom. So if
yes.
We're going to practice anything,
right.
We should practice love above all the gifts.
Okay. So the love's the one thing that will continue through into the age to come and into the new kingdom. Blake.
Yeah. Like, if anybody in here, there's been a lot of people in here that have been on deployment and things of that nature. And like I said, I was just in the field for a little bit, like a short amount of time. But like when you're there, and if you start thinking about how long it is until you get home, which for us would be heaven or here, whatever you want to say, but you start getting the mentality like, man, I'm tired of this. I'm done. I'm ready to go. Like it's old, you know, all that stuff. But at a certain point, you just have to embrace it and then start using your gifts for what they're intended for, like I think Billy just said. But so I think there's a hope that heaven or the end will come soon so that we can be relieved of all this suffering. However, there's a reality that I need to be aware of what my gifts are and really put them to work so that the kingdom of God would prevail here as well.
Yeah.
Amen.
Good. Amen. Yep. John? No? Okay. I thought you stuck your hand up there. You got to be careful waving. I'm going to call on you. But, all right. Any other thoughts?
Well, probably in the context of Corinthians that, you know, they thought that one gift was, you know, better than the other one. So understanding that it doesn't matter which one you believe is more important than the other one. The one that is over everything is love.
Yeah.
So you should be caring, like Bill said, you know, everything that you're doing for Christ and in love to spread Christ. So that will ease those conflict in the church.
Yeah. You know, I kind of put a couple things together. You know, as I read that and studied it, it was, you know, that idea, without getting too involved, Blake, but, you know, just longing to be with Christ.
Yeah.
You know, not that I'm ready to give up and die yet, but you know, it's like, man, I can't wait to be there and not be burdened down with all that we are in this world and in this life. And like, how exciting is it going to be to be in the new kingdom with Christ, you know, ruling and reigning with him and not having to worry about or, you know, all the pettiness that we deal with today. It's just exciting to know that there's something better to come, that there's more to come. You know, that anticipation of looking forward to that. And yes, you know, being patient and working through, you know, realizing, okay, I still have, God's not done with me yet kind of idea here. You know, where Paul says, you know, it'd be much, you know, I'd much rather be with Christ, but, you know, it's more expedient for me to stay here and continue to teach you and show you, you know, his readers, those around him, you know, how, what they needed from him still. But it's that idea of that back and forth of, you know, just the excitement of knowing that one day we will be with Christ and all these things will be past. So in verse 8, we have basically four thoughts, four lines. Of course, love never ends. And then he says, as for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. Has anybody ever studied this or looked at this maybe a little bit more in detail or heard any teachings on verse 8? Just wanted to, before we jump into it too much, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time in here, but anybody? Ade?
Salvation mentality, most of all these gifts have ceased completely, you know, and that's some teaching, some people believe that.
Okay.
That's not what he's saying here, just like what we're talking about.
Okay, so yeah, some kind of use this, okay, we'll kind of continue this in just a second. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, deep study on this verse showed me that they were right now, to truly believe in Christ Jesus, we are right now in the kingdom of God. And later, the way you accept this kingdom of God that we are now, this church in the kingdom of God, the true church, the inside, some people may still not believe. They are not part of the kingdom. But when you believe truly and you have faith, you are already in the kingdom of God. And later you, to be in the kingdom of heaven, that's what we're going to enjoy, in the kingdom of heaven. But we have to make perfect the kingdom of God that we are right now. And that is to practice everything that Christ has told us. Love one another, have faith in me, believe that I can go extra mile. And as I was talking with my children, that the peace of God is what we enjoy now in this kingdom of God. We must be able to perceive the peace of God in this kingdom that we are right now. You cannot be in the kingdom and not have peace. That means you got to recheck yourself and come back to Christ. So all these things is preparing us for the kingdom of heaven. So when we get there, we're not going to, feel strange. We already started practicing it.
Okay.
That's what I came from, deep study.
Okay, all right, good. Troy, have you studied this out any?
Not really.
Okay. No, that's fine.
I'm not sure I'm ready to share.
That's fine. I was just curious because there, as you read this, does anything jump out at you as the what Paul, how it's translated, and the verbs are different, but for prophecies, tongues, and knowledge. Does anybody see anything different in those three?
I think that, like, love, if you're looking at, like, a bunch of, visually, if you're looking at a bunch of strings and they're all in a line, like, love is this continuing string, and then prophecy, knowledge, all these other things are gifts that are given to people that stop when that person dies.
Okay.
Or wherever it is. Love, I think, is different in the sense that every person can show love, but the love of Christ, like she was talking about, is only shown, I guess, through, it's continuing through all believers. Does that make sense?
It does.
Yeah, it does.
It makes great sense. I'm just asking poor questions here. Troy, are you?
To me, when I see faith, hope, and love, I think Trinitarian in nature. So I think you can associate some of these things with, you know, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. The same
okay.
thing goes to here.
All right.
Look at tongues, look at the Holy Spirit, look at prophecy, look at Christ, look at, you know, seizing the meanings. Eventually, new age is going to come, but they won't be needed anymore.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah, no. All right, so he says, as for prophecies, they will what?
Cease.
Well, in the ESV, it says pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. All right, and actually in the Greek, the Greek word for the prophecies and knowledge is the same. The word for tongues was different. Okay, so, why Paul did that, really I don't have an idea. I really have no clue, but what do you think some commentators do with that?
I think they try to say that they're eventually, they're not needed now.
Okay, there's two trains of thoughts. One is this idea of, and I'm probably going to say the word wrong, but
cessationalism.
Yes. All right, what do we mean by that?
The ceasing of spiritual gifts after Pentecost or something like that.
Okay, so one is, yes, that the cessation or the stopping of gifts, that they're no longer needed. And there's two ideas of when that takes place. All right, so one of them is, all right, again, think, Paul's writing this. All right, so what hasn't occurred yet as Paul's writing a letter to the Corinthians?
The
all right, yes. All right, we don't, they don't have a completed canon yet. All right, so some thoughts there are when the Bible was completed, when the canon was completed, then all these gifts are done with and we don't really need them anymore. All right, I really don't think as Paul's writing this in the back of his mind, he's thinking, wow, this is another letter that's going in the canon and, you know, someday it's all going to be finished and done. I don't, you know, as you're reading, that's just not, I don't think that's Paul's intent. All right. And again, as many of you have mentioned, as we're looking at these verses here, you know, what is Paul's thought process? When are, you know, in his mind, when are they going to end?
When Christ returns.
Right. When Christ returns, when
everybody
we go. Yes. You know, when all those that are elect or however, all those that have put their faith in Christ, when they're with Christ in the eternal kingdom, you know, not in the kingdom of God, not currently in the kingdom of God, but in the eternal kingdom where we will be with him forever, at that point, then they will cease. Okay, so there, that's just so you're aware, some people are, you know, if you're talking to somebody, you know, they might say, well, you know, we don't really believe in gifts because Scripture is complete and we don't need them anymore because we have all the Bible. You know, and again, just some arguments for that. You know, was that really what Paul thought as he was writing this and penning this on it? You know, stuff like that. No, is that what Paul says? No. You know, he says it's going to be in a future day.
I think that logically, just looking around, we don't actually see these gifts around us. We don't see people speaking in tongues, and when we do, it's usually something weird, and they're not usually right. following the scripture. We don't see yeah. the dead being raised. We don't see, you know, so logically looking around, we can see we don't have the things that they had. I mean, Paul was raising the dead. Peter walked past people and they were healed.
Yeah. Right.
You know, we don't have these things. The apostles had these things, but
yeah.
I think a lot of those were signs to show that these people had the power of God in their lives and that they were writing canon.
Right. Yeah.
That's how we know whether we have the canon or not, is because the men that had these powers, they're the ones that wrote the books that we read.
Yeah.
So in looking at our current state now, we don't see them in play. Whether Paul was thinking that or not, maybe not. Probably not. That he was probably thinking when Christ comes back, that's when it'll end. Maybe not, because Paul wasn't given the full vision. But he clearly says, now we look through a glass darkly. He clearly knows yeah. he doesn't have the full image right. of everything yeah. anyway. He yeah. just knows that at some point, none of this is necessary anymore. Now that we have a full canon, and we have the full prophecy, and we've received a much better word of prophecy through the scriptures, do we necessarily need people prophesying and claiming that God is speaking? You know, through, I mean, technically, prophecy would be God speaking to a person and them telling us things about the world around us. I mean, we have a Bible. I don't really need someone to do that. Do I need them to speak in tongues? I have a Bible. You know, the Bible kind of gives us all of that information without the need for special magical powers, which is essentially how we would see it today. If we saw someone raise the dead, that they have something special. We just don't yeah. see these things other than for people, televangelists is where we see right. these gifts from.
I think yeah. that so. The point here, I know that that's kind of like part of it, what we were talking about, but the point here is the focal point is love and what it does, and then like Pastor was saying, the I mean, I guess in the context, Paul's really talking about the end, like he's reminding them of the end, the hope that is to come.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I guess these are things that you mentioned, but I think it's within the context of love is this thing that's going to continue on whenever all these things die, whenever Christ comes.
Okay.
I know that I'm not disagreeing with you, Billy. I'm just
no, saying. You're absolutely correct. Yeah, like right now where we're sitting, while we may not need prophecy, we need love. While we may not need the tongues being used, we need love. That's yeah. what we're lacking. That's the greatest commandment of all. That is yeah. royal law. Yeah. That is what James is all about. That's the whole right. thing is about love above all. You know, you might have a gift of prophecy, and maybe that still exists, and you claim it now, but nobody really cares that much other if you're missing love. You know, right. that's kind of what Paul's whole point is.
Yes. Right. Troy.
Sorry, you used the logic that's in 1 Corinthians 14, that the tongues are for the unbeliever and the prophecy is for the believer. And then whenever the unbeliever comes to the presence and there's prophecy happening, they'll be convicted and change their ways. As long as you have unbelievers walking this earth, tongues and prophecy will still be needed. And not only that, but prophecy is an office. So it's a part of the maturity that we're supposed to grow up in. That is the input that every believer should try to teach, should try to strive for. And it's much more than just being able to predict to me. It's being God's representative on earth and be able to take his mind and speak through it and to us.
Yeah. Okay. And I, way back when we were actually going through the spiritual gifts back in chapter 12, just remember, we don't know what's taking place all around the world.
Yeah.
You know, what we see in America, yes. You know, we have a Bible in, so many different translations. we have Blue Letter Bible and Logos, and we have access to just tons of commentaries and all kinds of stuff. You know, so yes, do we need tongues do I need somebody speaking in tongues in my life? Probably not, no. Because
You have the word of God that's not translated in a certain
right.
When they were speaking in tongues, they were speaking to somebody else.
Right, language. But in third world countries and in places where, they can't put the Bible in their language because they don't even really have a written language kind of idea. Those situations, and I've heard testimonies of missionaries, and all you can say is they're a liar or you believe them. But where they walked in, they're walking through the jungle, and they stumble upon this little tribe somewhere, and they start talking, and the people understand them, and they're just like, I don't have a clue what language you're talking, but they understand me, and I understand them, and they share Christ, and the comment is, we've been praying that God would send someone to reveal himself to us, and here you are. All right. Okay, that would be to me a gift of tongues that God enabled for that moment, for them to hear the gospel. What's that?
That's what it was for.
Right.
That's
exactly.
Why we had the gift of tongues.
Kind of idea. And then, the same, we talked about the gifts of healing. You know, can God give someone the ability or the mindset of what herb, what whatever to give someone to give life? Not that they would raise him from the dead. Unless that would be a whole nother conversation, but anyway, God can still work through, God can still utilize all of these gifts and make them reality. But again, do I need to go lay on the street because somebody's walking down and hope their shadow touches me? No, because I mean, we have one of the best health, well, it's declining, I know, but one of the best healthcare systems in America, in the world, kind of idea.
Good doctors.
And, God has given, God has enabled people to, find medications and give them the knowledge to how to use them and treat them and all of that.
Yeah.
And we have to realize that that's still, somebody can be really, really smart and be a doctor, but who created them? Whose image are they made in? They're still made in God's image. God still made them the person they are. Whether they choose to accept or reject Christ in their life is that's beside the point. We have to set that aside, that God still made them and gave them an IQ. He still gave them a brain that they're utilizing, that they're using to study medicine and study the effects of medicine and surgeries and all of that.
Yeah.
It's not just, you can't just say, well, everybody that's not, all the, go back and, all the guys that, discovered vaccines for polio and penicillin and all of that, if they weren't believers, well, they weren't from God. No. God enabled them to discover all of that to help mankind.
Because there's a lot of smart people that are not in the same position.
Right, and we talked about that when we were going through chapter 12. There are a lot of intelligent people that aren't believers.
Yeah.
But their intelligence is still given to them by God.
Yeah.
And I think they will be held accountable one day why they didn't put their faith in him with the IQ and the knowledge that was given to them, realizing that they had an even greater obligation, so to speak, to know the truth, hear the truth, understand the truth, and believe the truth than someone that has a very low IQ and just struggles with very simple understanding of things.
Yeah. Pastor,
yes?
I think that something, real fast, that there's just things that are a little bit different now than in biblical times.
Yeah.
A lot different in some ways. I'm not saying that God has changed, but things progress.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be careful with that language, but what I'm talking about specifically.
So you're a progressive.
Yeah.
No. Okay, let me.
Specifically, does God still raise people from the dead? And I think that 100%, yes, if you look at it in a different line. I came from a life of complete dead, sin, and boom.
So you're spiritualizing it, but that's fine.
I mean, you can use that term, but I just think that another thing is exorcisms. You see it in the Bible, not the Catholic way of doing it, but you don't need to exorcise people if you're not convinced that they're not possessed or something like that. As an unsaved person, there's no need to physically possess them when you control every single part of the way that they think and they act, all of these things. We act like these things aren't still going on because we don't see people raging in the middle of, sometimes you do, but in the middle of the streets with, doing weird stuff. But they walk around.
We see that most every day in Fayetteville.
The thing is, they walk around completely controlled by the music that they listen to, the TV that they watch, the things that they're addicted to, and we act like it's not still the same thing. It's just things have changed. Like you were saying, this is the same thought that you were saying. How God has worked through doctors and things like that, evil still working through the same ways.
Oh, it is. And I mean, how many of you know Viola Beach?
Yeah.
All right. I mean, she grew up in Palau. I mean, and she, you know, and again, just, you know, talk to her about some things that she experienced on the island there. You know, very deeply, you know, the majority of the people there are very deeply involved in mysticism and spirit worship. And I mean, she, you know, she said you could feel the oppression of the evil spirits there. You know, and again, that's, we don't, you know, I can't fathom what she's talking about. You know, I don't walk around Fayetteville other than, you know, sometimes, you know, when the car pulls up next to you and about bounces you off the road because their music's so loud and wicked, you know, you can hear the words and you're just going, good night, you know, and you're trying to turn up your Christian radio loud enough to kind of drown out some of their cuss words and stuff. But, you know, you don't feel oppressed like what she describes growing up on there. So, you know, it's just, again, I think we are very blessed to be in America, and we're very blessed that, to some degree, God has protected us from a lot of that.
Well, and I honestly feel like it may be worse, because it feels normal.
Well, depending which side you look at. As a believer, I feel blessed. But yes.
I'm just thinking, I'm agreeing with you, but I'm thinking...
Yeah. Yes, no, I get what you're saying. Mm-hmm. Troy?
I don't think modernity would be able to get to where it is today without Christianity and Christianity being in the past.
Yeah.
Right.
The problem we're having now is people walk away from church. Mm. Once people stop doing that, they come back, you'll see things get better. I think things are going to get better. I don't think they're going to get worse. Christ will come back when it's all done. His kingdom's complete, he'll come back.
Yep.
Okay. All right, a day.
No, I was going to say, I agree with what...
Blake.
Yeah, people say in the modern society like this, you know, demonic operations are kind of overwhelmed by the, you know, technology and all the things that we have.
Yeah.
You know, as a healthcare provider, I can tell you that sometimes I can say that this is demonic operation, mm-hmm. that even my medical knowledge cannot solve. But there are some demonic operations, so, and we still need to seek God to have the power through the Holy Spirit to cast out demons. I think
right.
That's it.
Good. Yes, ma'am.
First of all, read the idea. Have one thing in mind. That we are here for Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And we are here for the God Almighty. If the God, if you keep on studying the word of God, you will know more about God. And Jesus said we need to be like God. As you study, you have one thing in mind. To grow to be like God, not to use it to judge my neighbor or to use it to judge myself, but to learn it to be closer to God, to get into that kingdom of heaven. Now, everything in the word of God, even though many people say it's not complete, it's changed everything we need in this life, that we're here in this kingdom of God is right here.
Yeah.
And the more you study it,
mm-hmm.
you see, God deals one-to-one. He loves everybody. He loves the whole world. But when he wants to deal with you, it's one-to-one. When you are studying one-to-one, not because I have to study for my daughter. I'm studying because I want to be one to one with God. God will reveal things to you. If you truly study this word. So if he's God of yesterday, in time of Moses, he's God of now, and he's still the God of the future.
Yep.
What he did in time of Moses, I've seen it. I am a testimony. I've seen what he did during Moses happening these days. And I've seen what he did in times of Christ happening these days. And I look at myself, the more I study, the more I now believe he's performing it. Even in my life, I'm a testimony. So, you cannot underestimate God.
Right.
Which you don't. There is a faith Paul said, believe all things, hope all things. And the third one, I cannot remember. Believe all things, hope all things, endure all things. So somebody is giving a testimony, is kind of love you, if you want to tell you what God has done, because you want you to perceive the same. You like to believe, if you like, don't believe. You don't need to believe, but you need to believe God Almighty.
Yep.
And God can do whatsoever. The God of Jesus can do whatsoever you believe him to do. And we shouldn't underestimate. We need to, this is what is happening. How do you know God created us? How do you know how big his power is?
Yeah.
Can do anything.
Yep.
And you are the only one who perceived that. Will tell you, told Moses, out of many, go, only Moses saw the fire. On the tree.
Yeah.
Many people were around, but he saw it, and it's still happening today. So when he in every household, God loves us so much that if everybody has a gift, and if the household can recognize each gift, their life will be better. Because you know all your children, they don't have the same gift. Each one of them is gifted. And you need to study each child. And you need to study your wife and your husband. What kind of gift this man has? You need to focus on that gift, not what he doesn't. Not what is bad in, but in what God has created him, and is going to help the household to build just like a nation. Yeah. You know, we need to study ourselves to know what the gift of God has given me to be able to be the light. Light. He said, "You are my light."
Yep.
Know where you put the light, it will shine.
Yeah. Right. Yes,
so
ma'am.
If I'm sober and I know my gift, I'm going to be able to use it for my family. Yes. I'm going to be able to recognize the gift of my daughter. I know her gift. And we'll be using it for years. And the same thing, my son, we'll be using it for years. So recognize that your God that you are worshiping,
right,
it's not the God of bad. It's not the God of I'm not judgmental of other God, but he's a living God of Jesus Christ.
Yes, ma'am.
Who came to this world because of me,
right,
to shed his blood to save my life. So if everything is about love, if you can base it on love, when all this is not that prophecy is not, it's not that all of that, it's good now to build the church. But later on, we're not going to be doing all this anymore when we now be with Christ.
Right.
So please don't underestimate God Almighty in Jesus Christ.
Yep.
Believe him that he will do all the promises that he's given us.
Right. All righty, let's pray. I know some of you are going to 10:45 and you need to skedaddle quickly.
I'm not ready to run through a brick wall right now.
What's that?
I'm not ready to run through a brick wall right now.
Well, don't do that. But anyway, Father, thank you for our class this morning, the discussion. Thank you for so much truth that we have heard. Help us to put it into practice and live it. Thank you for a good discussion. In your name, amen.
Amen.